Hello, welcome to the Chess Boxing Podcast with me, the Grievous Bodily Farmer. And today on the podcast, we've got Aaron, what's your second name, Aaron?
Sweeney.
Aaron Sweeney. And we've got Dan Mayfield, Daniel Mayfield. Is That's it Dan, right? Or Daniel?
Either's fine.
Okay, Dan. Fair enough. Dan, you like Dan, like Alan Partridge, Dan. Do people just shout that
Dan.
At you?
Yeah.
So how did you find training today, Dan?
Yeah, it was good. It was good. It's good to go to different gyms, I think, because this gym, they teach you the technique, the defence is much more about blocking and, I suppose, using reach, whereas in the other gym I go to, there's a lot more about movement, throwing combinations, dodging punches. So they have different techniques, and if you merge them together, you get some kind of synthesis, you know?
So which gym do you go to?
It's called Richmond MMA.
Oh, right, okay, yeah. Nice. Yeah. And your background is in MMA, is it, or in your
Thai
martial
boxing.
Thai boxing?
Thai boxing. Okay. Well, initially running and then a bit of Thai boxing. Yeah.
Okay, and what are the main components of Thai boxing which is different to boxing?
You use a lot more limbs. You use...
Okay. how many limbs you got?
There's eight. It's the art of eight limbs. And in Cambodia, they used to say
you
nine.
You haven't got enough limbs.
Well, okay, yeah, okay. I think they might count limbs differently. They might have a different criteria for limbs in Thailand because they include knees and elbows. There's also a bit of grappling because you can clinch people. And it's with boxing, there's only very specific parts of the body you're allowed to hit, so you're not allowed to hit them from behind, whereas with Thai boxing, you can do spinning back fists and stuff. They don't work, but they look pretty cool. But so there's a lot more, there's fewer rules in Thai boxing. It's essentially just... anything where you can hit someone. It's essentially stand-up fighting. You used to have headbutts in Cambodia as well.
Okay. Wow, that sounds brutal.
Yeah, it's the standard for MMA if you're doing stand-up fighting.
Okay. And you've done a fight, haven't you? A kickboxing fight?
Yes, that's right, yeah. K1.
And how did that go?
It was okay. The guy was pretty good. He was a semi-professional swimmer before he did boxing. Very, 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 very good. But I think I'd done Thai boxing for longer than he had, but I'd been out of practice for a long time. He'd been training solidly for 4 months. So I trained only for about 3 weeks for that fight, so I think I did all right.
And you've met your opponent, Cannonball.
The Cannonball, the artful Roger.
Roger.
Well, you see, I kind of had to let that go because I was a little bit down, crestfallen, because I suggested his nickname should be the Artful Roger. His name's Roger Baxter. But he went for Cannonball, and you got to respect that. I mean, if that's what
he is a cannonball.
That's true.
Hands up.
And just goes through anything.
I thought he said cannibal first, and I thought that would have been better.
The cannibal.
That would be much better, actually.
No, I call myself Daniel Maneater Mayfield.
Maneater. Got the that can be Maneater misconstrued.
That's true, yeah.
what?
Well, I was just thinking cannibal, but okay, never mind. That's a good point.
So is that as far as you got in terms of your naming?
Well, I don't know, I had some ideas. Daniel Mayweather Mayfield, but maybe that's a bit presumptuous now. I mean, it's
a bit arrogant, but...
Well, yeah, but like that's what boxing. I mean, that's okay, fine. That's what MMA is all about. Like Conor McGregor does that, but it's just show business, isn't it? It's kind of taking the piss at the same time. Like I wouldn't be doing it seriously.
What other elements for your character are notable that we could use?
Nothing.
Like, what's your job?
I don't have character. Tax accountant.
You're an accountant.
Well, no. Okay, I'm not an accountant. I will be a trainee accountant in about a week.
Okay, and what hobbies have you got?
Chess boxing.
That's it.
Oh shit. I was thinking.
Have you done anything in your life that's notable?
No.
Okay.
I did an MA in philosophy.
Okay. The philosopher?
Yeah. No, come on. It's too boring.
Well, it's work in progress.
I thought Daniel Haymaker Mayfield kind of sounds like.
Yeah.
Sort of alright.
Mayfield's quite a good name. We could think of something.
I'm sure we could think of something. Or Dan something.
Yeah.
But I don't know. We'll come up with something. Yeah, we'll have it.
And Aaron, we spoke earlier about a nickname for yourself.
I have no idea.
Because you've got your nickname as well, your surname, already.
Since I was at school, yeah.
Wait, Sweeney.
Okay.
I
think that's quite good. I mean,
quite liked it.
Yeah, it doesn't really have any boxing or chess boxing relevance, but.
It turned into, when I was skateboarding when I was younger, turned into the Sween Machine for a while.
The Sween Machine.
Yeah, but that was when I was about 18 and really fit. Now I don't think I've got the fitness to back up the name there.
The Sween Machine sounds, it's a bit like Mean Machine, I suppose, the Sween Machine.
Yeah, but...
So how into skating were you? Did you do any competitions?
Yeah, I was professional-ish when I was from when I was about 16, so I was about 21.
Seriously?
That's what I did for sort of a job. Didn't get paid much, but got like travel paid around the world, going to competitions.
You get sponsored?
Yeah. I was on Vans, Volcom, Eastpak, Antis, and Def Urethane.
Wow. So whereabouts did you compete?
Mainly in Europe. Like, started in the UK, went all around UK, just driving about, then went to Europe and did a bit there.
So whereabouts in Europe?
Basque Country, there was a really nice competition every year we'd go to. No idea what anyone said, it was all in Basque, which is ridiculous language.
But they had nice food and wine and stuff, though.
Yeah, if you could order it. Which... Yeah, okay. No, most of them spoke English, it was nice. But that was my favourite competition, because I won lots of money.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then the Amsterdam Am was quite good, but I didn't really skate the stuff that it was competing in, but I'd go with all the team just to...
So when you say skate, you mean skateboarding, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you must have to been like, well, very talented and fit, and you did that full time.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. That's all I did for about 10 hours every day from when I was about 12.
you really did something you loved then?
Yeah, loved it. Yeah. And incredibly fit. And then my knee started going, so I was like, I should probably get a real job. Went back to uni, and then suddenly hit about 24, and my metabolism went to shit. So I was like, all right, I should probably start going to the gym, I guess.
Okay.
And eventually found my way here.
Okay, nice. So so you went back to uni, what were you doing there?
I did undergraduate biochemistry, master's experimental pharmacology and therapeutics, and now I'm doing a PhD in computational biology.
Right, I think we've spoken about that before.
Yeah, that's why on the form I just put science.
Okay, it's just easy.
Yeah, to anyone that does, it's just a load of long words.
Okay, fair enough. So, are you going to go with Sween Machine? I quite like that. What do you think, Dan? Sween Machine?
Sween Machine, yeah.
Yeah?
I
go with it.
Go with that.
Okay, well, okay.
I've got up my fitness level then to be able to throw for like, to be a machine.
Well, I hope you'd be doing that anyway.
Well, yeah, but I mean, now I've got the name. I've got a really...
Exactly,
yeah.
Even better. Like, what a way to motivate yourself.
Yeah,
so you're going to be looking to throw, like, 400 punches a second or something, like some Pacquiao or something like that.
400 punches, sure.
Yeah, why not?
Definitely, yeah.
Totally good. And so Aaron, what's your favourite chocolate bar?
I don't know. Whatever my girlfriend does. That's the only way I eat chocolate bar, really.
What's she usually buy you, then?
Well, she buys herself some chocolate and then she leaves it in the fridge. Yeah, and obviously, if there's chocolate in the fridge, I'm going to take it.
Okay.
It's normally
so your favourite chocolate is stolen chocolate.
Yes, and yeah. It's the fact that I haven't paid for it makes it taste all the better. Even if I don't like it,
I understand.
Just stomach it because it's free.
Yeah, and what about you, Dan?
Yeah.
What's your favourite chocolate bar?
I don't eat chocolate. Yeah, same with him. I only ate chocolate when I had a girlfriend. That's why you never have girlfriends, because they just make you.
So when was the last time you had? When was the last time you had a bar of chocolate?
Oh, damn it! When was that? I think when I was doing my dissertation, dark chocolate is supposed to be some kind of, what's the word? It's supposed to, like, stimulate neurons or something. It's like,
oh, really?
I don't know. It's like, it's
full of anti-oxidants. Part of your training, is that what you're saying?
It legit is, what's the word? Neurostimulator, apparently, or something. So I was literally not as part of my training, but to do my diss, essentially.
So there's something I didn't realise is there's caffeine in cocoa.
Yeah.
Just caffeine in chocolate bars, which I
that could be why, yeah. It's what you call it. I was eating green and black chocolate. Very, very dark chocolate. That's what I was trying, yeah.
And have either of you been to one of our events yet?
No, actually, I haven't.
Oh, yes, I did. I went to the one where that UKIP MEP got knocked out.
Oh, right. Yeah, the Brexit belt.
That was so funny. If you actually watch it, you can see, when you see Toby fighting that guy.
Jonathan Arnott.
That kid, yeah. You can see, if you look into the audience, you can see my face and my hands are just like, oh my god, oh my god.
Yeah, it wasn't really much of a competition in the ring, was it?
It was pretty tough.
Yeah, so Aaron, we had a sitting MEP, so a guy who was actually sitting in Europe. He was a member of the UKIP party, and he, I think, reading between the lines, that he had just run or he's running for the leadership of the party, is around when Farage had resigned, and just around when Article 50 was being triggered. So him and Toby were the headline fight in a show in April 17, I suppose it would have been.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
So yeah, you missed out, but
yeah,
but so you kind of understand what the shows are about, because it's quite a feeling, like, coming out in front of all those people, like screaming your name, and it's quite a lot of, I don't know, even that in itself, if not, you know, the anticipation of the fight itself, there's a lot of adrenaline that goes through you, and it's very exciting.
Yeah, it's weird. I remember my K1 fight. That's what I remember. Mm-hmm. That was amazing, the walking out feeling. That's nothing like that. But I don't really remember the fight. I watched the fight, so I know what happens, but I don't really remember very much of it.
It's strange, though, because you become so focused.
Yeah.
It's almost like the rest of your brain shuts down. All you're doing is focusing on the present moment and the person in front of you and everything else, like remembering to turn the oven off or whatever it is, that none of that kind of exists anymore.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Yeah,
it's quite a nice feeling, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you had your MMA fight. When was that? When did you do that?
It was February of this year.
Oh, quite recently then.
Yeah, it was quite recently.
And that was in the UK.
Yeah. It was in my university, which is Durham University.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah.
But you're not living there now, I presume.
No. I'm living in London for the moment.
Quite a way to travel otherwise.
Yeah, I'm living in London at the moment. Yeah.
Okay, fair enough. And have you got any friends or family coming, Aaron? I saw you sold a few tickets.
Yeah, a couple of mates. It's sort of like the mates I have through my girlfriend that are up for it. They don't really understand what it's about, but they're the ones that have money. Whereas my mates were like, oh, yeah. So, like, when will the tickets run out? I was like, I don't know, mate. It's like, oh, okay, I might get paid at the end of the month.
Oh, right, okay.
It's at the point now I'm trying to add up who wants to come, and then I have to buy the tickets. And
yeah.
One of them, I don't think I ever get that money back if I do.
Oh, but, I see. Yeah, well, because we've got, I think we've only got like a handful of tickets, maybe four or five tickets left for the early bird discount tickets. So we're going to be on like full price tickets probably in a week or so. So they do want to get the most out of their discount codes, and they should definitely do that.
Might do that when I get home, actually. Yeah.
But yeah, so our next event, might as well give it a plug, is on the 8th of December. It is at the Dome in Tufnell Park. If you've got anything you'd like to talk to us about on the podcast, email is info@londonchessboxing.com. We've got listeners all over the world. We've had emails from people from Qatar and people listening in Mexico and
mad.
All that kind of, yeah, it's quite cool. Also, if you're listening in Mexico, send us an email. anything you'd like to say, or any comments or any questions you'd like to put to our fighters, then please do that. So guys, what have you got any questions for me or any questions for each other? I mean, particularly at year end, because this is your first fight, isn't it? I mean, you're competent though. I've impressed with your technique, considering you've not fought before.
I've been watching Brian, he's getting a bit better now.
He's getting better,
He's learned to throw a right hand now. Uh-huh. But there's a couple of weaknesses he still has, like his footwork, he comes off his feet quite a lot.
Which means he's not balanced.
Yeah, like when he's throwing the right hand, see today when he throws the right hand, he comes
kind of bouncy.
Yeah, and it's just sort of like one well-placed jab should like knock him off balance a bit, but he's just ridiculously fit. I don't know.
And Ben, you need to get fit, mate.
Yeah. I'm trying. I'm always just behind him, but it's just, I don't know.
So what are your tactics then, aside from what you just discussed?
Move. I hope you don't listen to
me. He will listen to this.
All right. Move about. Throw straights.
But you need to get close to him, don't you? So you can make your technique count and get behind his jab a little bit. That means chasing him around the ring, and that's
going to tie you. I'm not going to chase it. I'll try and stalk. But he comes
to you, you reckon?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Hit him. That's all I've got at the moment. Yeah. Step one, hit him. Don't get hit.
And Dan, what are your thoughts on your opponent? How are you going to tackle that one?
Well, I don't think I'm going to win on the chess. So I'm going to have to...
Is he better at chess than you?
Yeah, realistic. I think today, actually, I thought I was winning until like the position turned around. But I think realistically, he is better than me at chess. I would have to concede
really
that.
Good.
He's quite good at chess.
He's much better at chess than me, but he talks a good game. He talks a much better game than he is actually.
He's trash talking 101. He's got it down.
The
trouble is, when you're chess boxing, you have earphones on, so you can't hear. So he won't be able to trash talk you whilst you're playing. Which is a real shame. We should actually mic them up.
Exactly. I don't know. Yeah, when you say that, now that I'm seeing everything in perspective, maybe he's not as... He was saying, like, I don't know, I'm 160 or 170, and I thought that's pretty bloody good. But
160, what do you mean?
ECF. ECF.
Ah, right, okay.
But I think I probably have the advantage in the boxing. Mm-hmm. I think I'm just
slightly taller.
Yeah, I'm taller than him, and he's aiming to
Roger's
fight.
Roger's pretty fit.
He's got some power.
Is he?
Yeah, I wouldn't underestimate Roger.
We'll see what happens. I
think it'll be a good fight, though. I think it'll be a good fight.
I back myself against Roger in a ring.
Good. Well, that's
if anyone's going to back you, it definitely should be you.
Well, welcome to chess boxing on the 8th of December.
I mean,
Dan's
just
turning up for the money. Look.
I should have the.
They've got the numbers.
I should have the. I should have the. What do you call it? I should have the. I should have a weight advantage as well, because I think he's aiming to fight at 77.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, like, I'm not dropping below 80, because it took me a lot of, you know, takeaways and nuts and like just all sorts of heavy calorie food to just get to.
I'm not sure.
80
I mean,
kilos.
Are you actually trying to get fit? I mean, you should be.
Well,
really
I wasn't.
This time,
after I, well, no, after I, okay, after my fight, most of what I did throughout uni, I did a bit of Thai boxing, but most of what I did was I just tried to put on weight because I was like 63 kilos. Mm. Now I'm about 83, but most of what I did was I just went to the gym and ate loads of food, and I finally reached over 80, which was my goal for ages, and I haven't dropped below that since. I finally reached 80 by like the end, the very, very end of my term. I'm not planning
to
lose that now.
Roger's got a lot fitter. He's lost a lot of weight. He's
oh yeah.
I mean, you need to make sure you can match him in terms of fitness so you can go the distance, because
I mean, if you had a fight at eight, well, yeah, I guess it's a long time away, but you know roughly how these things go, how much.
I'm quite, like, the thing is, I've always been, like, fairly, I've never really been out of shape, because I used to do running when I was much younger. I used to run every, I used to run a lot. I used to run for Richmond County. So, like, okay. I'm normally, like, my natural state is fairly fit, so I think I should be fine. I've done some fitness. I think I'll be fine on the fitness. I'm not worried about
the training session. I'm going to be watching you and see how fit you are.
That is the best.
I mean, I was doing fitness training for 3 days before this, which is why I wasn't doing as well. But I still think I was doing all right. I was doing all right on the fitness today.
I think that's going to be the title of the podcast: Daniel Mayfield, My Natural State is Fitness.
Yes.
Okay.
I'll back that.
Okay. Before we go, I just wanted to give a shout out to David Ashman.
Yeah.
He dislocated his knee, so he's not in a good way, and he's on the road to recovery now. But we just wanted to give a shout out to him, just let him know that we're all thinking of him and wish him the best and a speedy recovery.
Get well, Dave.
Yeah, go for it, Dave. He went to my old school, you know.
I did not know that. Yeah. Okay. So you obviously knew him before chess boxing.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Nice. Okay.
Knew him well.
And I think that's it. Unless you guys have got anything else to add, I think we'll wrap it up.
No, I'm good.
Yeah, just looking forward to seeing your training and getting in top shape, especially you, Dan. Getting
I can only come to one more because I'm moving to Jersey. But yeah, it'll be fine.
In fact, it's interesting because I think you and Roger, two of the most confident fighters we've got. Actually, you both think yourselves are great.
We'll see how confident he is when he's lying on the top wall.
So that's it for me, the Grievous Bodily Farmer.
Grievous Bodily Farmer.
Yeah, that's...
that's a good name.
Thanks very much for coming on the podcast, guys. Thanks very much, Aaron.
Cheers. Thanks for having us.
Thanks very much, Dan.
Thank you, Gavin.
And we'll see you all in a week. Thanks very much. Cheers. Bye.